Blessed privilege to be here tonight with you, brethren. Be back again to preach the Word of God. Thank you for praying for me. A pastor, of course, the preacher that's going to try to preach desperately needs the prayers of those that he wants to preach to. And I have been impressed with your prayerful spirits. And I think it was the first sermon Sunday morning, one of the sisters came through the office up there where I was waiting, and she said, I'm headed to the prayer room, and I didn't know where that was, but I've learned since, and it's a great blessing. Thank you for doing that and praying for these services. I need that, obviously, and certainly ask you to pray. And Brother Randy got it right. He said, pray for me and pray for ourselves too, for yourselves, that you might hear the Word of God. Might hear the Word of God. God would be glorified and we'd be edified, established in His Word. Brother Randy, in his opening remarks, mentioned about the rain and the need of water on the fields. And God sending me a message, among other things, and to you too, through Brother Randy, about water and the need for water. And the topic tonight that I want to preach to you about is about water and living water. Two kinds of water, at least. The natural water. Brother Randy was talking about the natural rain and how the crops need it, farmers need it, we all need it. We've got to have it to sustain our lives. But then there's living water, brethren, that causes us to flourish, not just get by, but the living water that comes from above. So would you turn to John's Gospel tonight, chapter 4. John chapter 4. It is probably a very familiar text to you. It's one of the verses that I want us to look at tonight contain yet another question. We've been looking at questions posed in the Word of God, and tonight the one I want us to look at was asked by a Samaritan woman of the Lord, Jesus. He was talking to her about water, and we'll get into it, but in the midst of the conversation, she asks a question. He offers her, he says, if you knew who you're talking to and who I am, you would have asked me water, because initially he asked her for water, and he's there with nothing, obviously, outwardly, to give any kind of water to her, but she learned, and God bless us to learn from this encounter. Chapter 4 of John's Gospel, verse 11, John 4:11, the woman saith unto him, that's to Jesus, sir, Thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? There's the question. There's the question the woman of Samaria asked our Lord and Savior. A Samaritan woman, a worldly woman, living in sin, actually, and having lived in sin for a long time in her past. She has an encounter with Jesus at that well. Wonderful, wonderful story. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, brethren, and pray that God would open my mind to understand this and to preach it to you and to the glory of God, and that we might hear and be established in the Word of God and instructed in it. Let's pray, brethren, to that end now. Father in heaven, thank you for yet again another opportunity to look into your Word together. I thank you for the prayers of these brethren, the audible prayers and the silent prayers. I thank you for that. Father, hear and grant so that you'd be glorified and we'd be instructed in the wonderful words of life. Father, teach us about yourself tonight. May we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Teach us about the living water. Let us look at Christ Jesus in this portion of Scripture and what He does and says, and to the woman to whom He's speaking. May we know, be reminded that all Scripture is inspired by You and is profitable to us for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Help us now, Lord. Grant me, please, preaching grace and us all hearing grace, we pray. We thank You for this beautiful day You've made. We beg, Lord, that You would give us living water. And Father, we also beg that You would send natural rain upon Your earth here. We know that You know best, and we thank You for Your good hand upon us, and help us. In the name of Jesus, we pray, the name above every name. Amen. Water is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing. Jesus is talking to a woman who came to a well to draw some water like that, out of a well, a hole in the ground. And He's teaching her, and may He teach us, may the Spirit of God teach us to desire after and seek after, ask for that living water. Would you look at verse 3 now for background leading up to this encounter between Jesus and this woman? It says, He left Judea. That's Jesus. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. He's going to travel northward from Judea to the land of Galilee. And verse 4 says, He must needs go through Samaria. I'll bet you that's a familiar verse to a lot of you. And it certainly is to the pastors, I bet you, the preachers who preach it in you. Because there's two things in that verse, at least two, I want to comment on. Brethren, to get from Judea to Galilee, you have to go through Samaria. If you're traveling like Jesus did, and He walked where He went, He must needs go through Samaria. Galilee is north of Judea, and it was an area occupied by Samaritans. Jesus walked that area, and so to take the route He was taking, it would lead Him through Samaria. He had to go through Samaria. I suppose He could avoid that area, but it would have been a long and way out of the way course. But generally the direct route was going to take Him through Samaria. So on its surface, it just means He had to go through Samaria. But brethren, underneath the surface, there was a reason He had to go through there. There was a woman there. Very sinful woman. A Samaritan. And a sinful woman. And she was there. She didn't know He was coming. But He knew it, because He knows all. Knows the end from the beginning. Knows everything. And he needed to go through there. And she needed Him to go through there. He must needs go through Samaria. Verse 5, then cometh He to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. This geographical area goes way back to the time of, and before, but at least to the time of Jacob. Israel, who lived in that area at one time, traveled that area. Now, verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jacob's well, a well was there. Water was and is scarce in that part of the world, is my understanding. And wells were very important, obviously, because water's important to sustain life. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. Jesus, brethren, was walking. There may be other times than the one I know can think of, but the only time I can think of that He rode was when He came into Jerusalem just before Passover on that donkey, the triumphal entry. There may have been other times, but I don't think so. And you know, he was a poor man, as men go, and so, and although He was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and is, He was humble and poor, and He walked. And He was wearied with His journey. Because, brethren, it was a good distance, And he was a man, and he was fully man and fully God, but he tired out just like we do. He got tired. Things hurt him. He had aches, probably. He was fully man. And he was tired, wearied with his journey. And he sat down there at the well, and it was the sixth hour. That was, as I understand it, that's around noontime. So it's the middle of the day. Verse 7 says, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water." This woman, when I read that part right there, I think sometimes about myself. I think about how I go about sometimes my daily routine, just the details of the daily routine, and not mindful of God, and thinking maybe about myself or my problems and my interests, my desires. And God sometimes is the furthest thing from my mind as I'm going about my daily routine. She comes to the well, and Jesus is there. You know, was it last sermon or the one before? I'm confused, but I have preached about Isaiah 53. Was that last night? Thank you. How Isaiah said, "There's no form or comeliness that we should desire him." He didn't stand out to her. The commentators say she recognized he was a Jew, maybe from his clothing or the way he talked, but other than that, he didn't stand out to her, is my understanding. And he's there, though, and he says to her, verse 7, "Give me to drink." He asks her for a drink of that water. He engages her. Now, see, brethren, you know, Jesus knew everything about this woman. He knew her history. He knew her history. He knew her present living situation. We know from reading this before, you know, she had five husbands, and she was living with a man to whom she was not married. The Bible commentators say she either divorced her husbands or acted in a way that they divorced her, and she was a lewd woman. So Jesus knew that. He knew that. Yet he said to her, yet he went through Samaria and went to this well to encounter her. He engaged her. He began to speak to her. And brethren, I was telling you a sermon or two ago about a young man that I had met in my neighborhood named Shiloh, and how I vacillated on whether to talk to him, even talk to him, much less offer him a ride. And I did, and we're communing a little bit now, and I, frankly, am a little afraid to trust him, and because he's a Samaritan to me. But we're learning about each other, and I don't know how it'll turn out, but I'm plunging in, and God willing, I'll talk to him about the living water sometime. He may teach me about the living water. Jesus may teach me through him. But I made a choice to speak to him and to offer him a ride. And brethren, the first thought I had of him was, he needs to get out of the road. He needs to get those buds out of his ear. He needs to get a job. That's the first thing I thought about of him. You know, he's beneath me. He doesn't deserve this or that or the other. You know, that's like this Samaritan woman was. You know, if I'd been there at the well and a Jew, I probably wouldn't have spoken to her. And she was a little mystified. She said, the woman said to Jesus, verse 9, "How is it that you, being a Jew, askest drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" A woman and a woman of Samaria. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Samaritans they lived in Samaria, of course. That's why I guess they call them Samaritans. But the Bible commentary that I read said that way back, a king of Assyria had taken away the Jews from that area, had conquered them and taken them away, and left poor ones and maybe elderly ones, I don't know, or infirm, I don't know, but left some, but had populated that area with his own people or with Gentiles. And they had intermixed. They had intermixed. And they were... One Bible commentator says the Samaritans were mongrel Jews. That's a tough term, isn't it? That's a tough term. They were mixed. And so the Jews looked down on them. And she knew it. She knew it. And she knew Jesus was a Jew. This man she was talking to was a Jew. And she said, why are you sort of like, why are you even speaking to me? And some of the writers say that she said it with a sort of a sneer. There was bad blood between those races there. And she said it with a sneer. And Jesus said, if thou knewest, verse 10, the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. What an answer. He didn't argue back at her, did he? He was patient with her and kind. And to me, brethren, it's hard. It's easier to judge and point the finger and say, you're wrong, you're doing this. It's easy to do that. And that's the easy way out. But, brethren, Jesus never took the easy way out, did He? Aren't you glad that He didn't? I'm glad He didn't. I'm glad He went to the cross for me. I'm glad He suffered and bled and died for me. And so, when my three children were little, they were preschool, they went to a place called Jonesy's. I've told this to a congregation before. If I told it to you, it was 9 years ago, so you've probably forgotten it. But they went to a place called Jonesy's, Miss Barbara Jones in Waycross. She doesn't have the daycare now, the preschool, but they called her Jonesy. And she was not comely, or she didn't stand out in the crowd. She was a short lady, a little stout and very plain looking. But brother, those children loved her. And Jonesy had a way with them. And when they would do something wrong, Jonesy would go to them and hold them and say, now, whatever the name was, said, there's a better way. There's a better way to do that. She didn't say, stop that, or you're wrong, or scold them. Well, I never heard her do that, but I heard her more than once get with them and love on them and say, there's a better way. There's a better way to do that. And so Jesus engages her. And to me, there's a lesson in that like between me and Shiloh, or Shiloh and me, I don't need to tell him that he needs to get a job. He probably knows that. In fact, when he came to see me the day I came up here, he was fishing in the pond, and he says, do you know of anybody that's hiring right now? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I ate in a restaurant last night, and I said, there was a sign on the door there, we're hiring cooks and dishwashers. And he said, nah, like that. You know, he didn't want that kind of job. But he said, I just got fired from Zaxby's. So I said, okay. So I said, well, I'll listen out. You know, it's hard to be patient, isn't it, sometimes, and loving and encouraging. But I'm going to do my best. We'll see what comes of it. But Jesus asked her for a drink from the well. She said, Jews don't talk to Samaritans. Jesus said, if you knew who I was, if you knew the gift of God. Jesus, brethren, Paul the Apostle refers to Jesus as God's unspeakable gift. He's the indescribable gift. If she knew she was talking to God's unspeakable gift, she would have said, give me living water. But she didn't understand it right then. We know that because in verse 11, which is the text for tonight, the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Apparently this well, some wells have a bucket going down in them on a lever. Some have a crank. But on this well, apparently you had to bring your own container, your own bucket. And Jesus had nothing but the clothes on him. The disciples had gone into town to buy food, and he was there for that rendezvous with that sinful Samaritan woman. And then they talk about other things. And Jesus says in verse 13, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. He's talking about the well water there. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And then she says, well, I'll take that. And she's still thinking about some kind of, I guess, miraculous water that she just doesn't have to come to the well and work to draw the water anymore. And she says, okay, I'll take that. And Jesus then tells her to get her husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. And he says, yep, you're right. You don't have a husband. You told the truth because you've had five, verse 18. And the one whom you have now is not your husband. In that, you're telling me the truth. I don't plan to read further verses, but to just speak with you now about water and living water. Brother Randy was speaking just now about water and the need for it with the crops. And I as I was preparing for this sermon here, I was thinking about water, natural water. And since I retired, I have planted some pecan trees. I had them planted. I didn't do the digging. I hired a man to do it. About 10 acres of them. He says there's like 264, so there's a bunch of them. I've never grown pecan trees except in my yard. But I studied up on it, and it's sort of a hobby with me. Now it's more than a hobby. It's an expensive hobby now. But when I planted them, I did not have a well out there on that property. And I knew you've got to water. You've got to give natural water to trees. And so I began to call the well drillers, and well drilling, if anybody's looking for a job or doing new business, you might want to go into that because they're busy. They're very busy. A lot of work. I couldn't find anybody that could come right away, so I bought a 550-gallon tank and put it on my flatbed trailer and hooked my tractor to it, and there's a pond on the place there. And I bought a generator, and my son had a pump, deep well pump, so it runs off of electricity. So I bought a generator, and he helped me get it going. We bought some pipe, and I put one end of the pipe in the pond, and the well, the pump on the tailgate of my truck, and a pipe going this way into the tank, and I'd fill that thing up, crank it up, and fill it up, and when it got full, I'd head off to the pecan tree orchard, and we had a pipe coming out of the bottom of that tank, and I'd ride along on the tractor, and I'm retired now, so I was fine doing that. And I'd water the trees, and I enjoyed it. And those trees, brethren, they needed water, and they still need water. I've got now, the well driller came, and I've got a deep well and a very light wallet and irrigation to all the trees. Little risers come up, and the water sprays out and makes a nice circle around the tree. And those trees are thriving. But early on, I was just trying to get them to survive. It's what I was doing. I was hauling water to them. And I thought about these verses here, and the water, the natural water and the living water, and this water right here. This water sustains life and it helps me, but I'm already thirsty again. You know, I took a drink just a few minutes ago, and I'm thirsty again. That's what Jesus said. If you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But there's another kind of water. And he came to this woman, brethren, in part because she belonged to him, but also, brethren, because she was seeking the wrong kind of water. Her life was such that there's a verse, and I meant to look it up, and I forgot it. The pastors will know, and you'll know, you may know, but there's a verse in the Old Testament that says something like, why are you putting your money in bags with holes in them? Right? Brother Richard's nodding, and Brother Emerson, y'all know it, and Brother Randy. Why are you doing that? You're putting in here, and it's just coming out the bottom. You're not making progress. You're not flourishing. You're not growing. And those trees have done well because I put a lot of time in them, and they're mostly all going to live, it appears. And I was retired, and I enjoyed that, and I had a lot of time to think, and a lot of time to just enjoy those trees. You know, when you plant a pecan tree in the winter, and they cut the top off of it, there's no leaves. It looks like a broomstick just standing up in the ground. And I watered them, and I watered those sticks. But as the weather warmed up, they began to get little buds on them. I checked for buds often, and they began to swell and then pop open, and they look good now, and I'm so thankful for that. And sometimes I'd be on the tractor there, and as I was watering, I made a little mound around them, and sometimes the soil would just sink as the water was going on top of it. Y'all have seen that before. I know you don't want air pockets down there. You want that dirt to sink around those roots. And I would just rejoice when I saw that, because I said that air is coming out of there, because I don't want those roots to dry up. That tree needs that moisture down there, and that those roots don't need to dry out. That's trees, brethren. That's trees. And those trees, they didn't care, brethren, if they were getting pond water or if they're getting the water from that deep well now. They don't care. I mean, that's the way God made them. That's trees. And I'm trying to nourish them, and so they'll not just survive, but so they'll flourish. That's my goal there. So a tree doesn't care. But brethren, a born again child of God needs more than just pond water. Do you know that? You know that? Jesus told this woman, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him and he would have given thee living water. In the commentaries that I read about this living water, in the Old Testament, it's one occasion, the servants, I believe, of Isaac said they were digging a well and they hit springing water. They hit a spring. They hit flowing water. When it talks about well water, that's standing water. And standing water can get stagnant, and it can get mosquito larvae in it, and just get stale. That, when I started from that pond over there watering, it had come a lot of rain, and in fact, the drain pipe in the pond was flowing out, and that water was kind of reddish, looked like creek water. It was cool, it was good-looking water. Of course, again, the trees don't care, but it didn't rain. It hardly rained after I planted the trees, and that's why I was watering them more and more. But every trip I made over there, that water would get more and more murky, more and more murky. Well water will do that. Standing water will do that. But brethren, flowing water, living water, it doesn't. It's like a spring. And that's what most of the commentators, the way they describe living water, of course, it comes from Christ, but it means it's just like a fountain. It's flowing. It's flowing. There's a verse where Jesus talks about that water springing up into everlasting life. I don't want to be satisfied with just well water, because it doesn't. This world is not my home anymore. I'm alive through Christ, like the dear sisters sang to us, and I can't be satisfied, and you can't be, with just well water, standing water. And this woman of Samaria, brethren, she was. I believe, I mean, if she's had five husbands and she's got a man now, she's looking for love in all the wrong places, isn't she? As that song says, that's what she's doing. That's just all she's doing. And the message is, we're looking for happiness and fulfillment and fullness of life in all the wrong places, if that's where we're looking, if we're living like her. And the child of God, trees can be satisfied. They don't care where the water comes from as long as it's water. But brethren, alive creatures of children of God can't be satisfied with well water, with standing water. We need the living water. And it only comes from Jesus. He comes, He brings it to us. And we need to seek it from him. The main lesson in this to me is the woman, if we examine her life, she is desperately seeking fulfillment, and she's not getting it. Doesn't matter how many husbands or men she might have in her life, she keeps on like this, she's never going to be fulfilled. And that fulfillment is only going to come through Christ Jesus and following Him and loving Him and her setting her affections on things above and not this world, because that's not her home. She's a child of God. And if she just keeps drinking standing water, she's never going to be fulfilled. She's got to seek the things above. So that's what I wanted to say to you tonight. A child of God can't be satisfied with pond water like my pecan trees are. We might subsist on this. It might sustain life, but it won't ever bring the abundant life. It'll never happen. It cannot. Living water doesn't come from an earthly well. It only comes from the one true and living God. It's His good pleasure to give us that living water if we'll ask Him for it and if we'll obey His instructions for living life, the abundant life. We must obey Him to do that. Jesus had that encounter with that Samaritan woman, and He had an encounter with the woman caught in adultery. Both examples happen to be women, but it applies to all of us. But neither one did He condemn, but He taught them a better way. The woman caught in adultery, He said, go, but stop what you're doing. So brethren, I'm going to end by just saying there's a better way. There's better water. There's flowing water. There's abundant water. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. He's washed away our guilty stains, and He'll give us that abundant life if we'll obey Him. And if we don't, and if we go out into the world and seek for happiness and pleasure, it'll never satisfy us. Let me read one group of verses that a wise man wrote. It's believed that he was Solomon. He was very, very wise. It's in Ecclesiastes. And he decided that he would seek for happiness in the things of the world. And it's in chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes. He says, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. He was a king in Jerusalem. He's not named here, but we believe it was Solomon. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasures of kings of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the souls of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Things won't make you happy. And I've had to learn that over and over, and I still have to learn it over and over. But brethren, I know this. The living water brings me great joy and happiness in my Lord and Savior. And I urge you and I urge me to seek that first of all. First of all. Oh, Father in heaven, may we learn from this lesson the actions of Jesus, His teaching to this woman. May we learn from it. May we know that you will profit from your Scripture if we study it. Thank you for teaching us and forgiving us and being merciful to us. May we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. May we put you first always, always, and not be satisfied with standing water, but with desire that water from above, that fountain water, that spring water that brings abundant life. We pray it in the name of Jesus and for His sake. Amen. Brother Randy.